This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're having a glorious day. Jake, you ever feel judged by other people?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Do you walk outside and see other people? You know what I say? Screw them. Let's light this candle and do this show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime. The lunchtime, lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on the Ticket is sponsored by our friends here at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and a 61st and Apples Way. Right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken. Every day I get hungry just reading this. It's delicious stuff, too, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and much more, plus incredible size. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2. By Lowe's. Our next on location at their south location, our next on location show at their south location will be coming up in the next few weeks. We will keep you updated on that. Jake, is there anything off the text line before we dive into what Dana Holgorsen had to say, get some updates, dive into what John Butler had to say, get some updates? Let's roll that clip of at some point of Rule, his wonderful Australian accent imitation. But before we dive into all that, anything off the text line?
Yeah, I got a few different thoughts here and some questions for you as well. Say, don't you think if our defense practices against TJ all week, that will help a lot for the dual threat quarterback?
Yeah, it's a great point. The issue is TJ is the backup quarterback on our team. And God forbid Dylan gets hurt. He's got to go in and play. He would get to go in and play. So he needs to be getting ready. So your top two quarterbacks are going to take a ton of reps every week getting ready. And a lot of times you have a designated scout team quarterback, and that's who's going to be running the offense. They could potentially bring TJ Lateef down occasionally, but he's got to be ready to play on Saturday. He's our clear-cut number two. So it's a great question, great thought. Just when you think about preparing him, again, if God forbid, like Dylan could go down the first series. Hopefully he never gets hurt. But then the next four quarters are up to TJ, so he's got to be ready.
Another thought here. Wouldn't it be awesome, Bill Bennett says, to see Quentin Ives or Luke Lindenmeyer truck Ernest Hausman at some point in the game Saturday?
Why Ernest? Why Ernest specifically? What's the reason for that? Because he's Michigan's leading tackler? Is that all? Is there something more to that, Jake?
He at one time, might have wore the Scarlet and Cream.
This is the guy that wants us to play UCF, and this is the guy, you know, Texas A&M on the schedule next year. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't hate that idea. Ernest is a really good player. I actually have nothing to love for the guy. He did what he felt was best. The only reason it stings that he's over there is because he's a really good player, and we'd like to have him with us. That being said, yes, it would be great to see that.
Final question from the text line, this one from 1000. Adam, is Tony White going to bolt for the UCLA job?
If Florida State continues to play like they have and their defense continues to play well, and I don't see any reason they won't. Coming into the season, I was high on Clemson. What the heck do I know? Of course, man, they still might make the playoff if they went out, but it doesn't seem likely at this point. They didn't lose to cupcakes, though. Georgia Tech, LSU are pretty good. I'm going on a random sidebar. My point is, it seems like Miami and Florida State may be the two best teams in the ACC. So Florida State keeps playing well and the defense keeps playing good. You look at what he did at Syracuse, was even more impressive here at Nebraska. And if you do that one year from the god-awful season they had last year to being really good this year, he's going to be head coach material. He's probably been head coach material, and he's obviously got ties to UCLA. I'm going to read something. So it seems like he'd be the likely top candidate. I sent this to you yesterday. If you're Tony White and you get offered the UCLA job and you find out these facts, all right, this is Stuart Mandel's tweet yesterday. So again, this is his tweet. Deshaun Foster had to go, but UCLA's problems are much deeper than the head coach with no easy solution. $200 million athletics deficit over the last 6 years. No NIL pot of gold. Complete fan apathy, and that's putting it kindly. They may be the most apathetic fan base in all of Power Four. If you see, we had more people at the Husker games than they have at their. That might be a bit of a stretch. Maybe not, though.
Yeah, about
man,
right.
Have you seen the lack of people in the Rose Bowl at their home games? It's crazy. Big Ten competitors are way more invested in football. And he says, good luck to the next head coach. Do you remember when I said yesterday? Because you asked me about the UCLA head coaching job. Do you remember what I said?
Huh.
I said, thanks for listening. I said it's a great job if you want to coach basketball. That's what I said. Do you remember that?
Yeah, now I remember, yeah. I can remember the exact quote. Yeah. I'll write it down this time.
No, you won't. Don't lie to me. But that's why I said it. And I've questioned UCLA being in the Big Ten. Did we really need another LA market team? I grew up with UCLA being good at football. I miss them being good at football. Times have changed. What it takes to be good nowadays, Nebraska is 1,000 times more equipped to be good at college football nowadays than UCLA, despite the less population in the state of Nebraska and the fact that they're in LA where there's a plethora of talent.
Yeah, it's weird because talent's never the problem in Los Angeles. They've had several first-round draft picks. You know, you kind of think of the Miles Jacks and Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, all the players over the years, but just seems like a tough place to win. I mean, Jim Mora got it going for a little bit. That eventually crashed out. Rick Neuhausel never really did. Obviously Chip Kelly, he struggled for 3 years, then got it to the 8-win campaign. That's what I thought this was doomed all along, is they were on an 8-win coach they wanted fired, and then they went to a coach that has never been a head coach. That was, that's those Mike Riley, right? Bo Pelini expectations still hanging around. So it's not only can he coach, it's can he get 9 and 10 wins right out of the gate.
He'd never been a head coach. Jake, he'd never been a coordinator.
Yeah. Heck of a running back, though.
Great running backs. Good running backs coach. I feel it actually hurt him. It would have been better for him had he just taken the next step of being a coordinator than a head coach. Sometimes going up too fast or being zoomed up too fast, the ladder of success or what a promotions, could actually hurt you. He's going to be a good head coach one day. But I felt like it actually hurt him to be zoomed up that quickly. If you remember, I mean, Kelly left in like February, March. UCLA was hurting just to find a candidate too. All right. So if I'm Tony White, I've got obvious ties there, but I really got to think about it. But yeah, he seems to be the likely candidate. Any others off the text line?
I think that's it for now.
You got the clip of Rhule?
Yes, this is, here it is. It's Coach Rhule talking about R.T. Wilson. Got to turn it on, though.
That was mine. There's only 10 guys out there, though. I told Archie a couple times, I said, hey, if you don't punt, I said before the game, I said, if you don't punt, you're going in on victory. And he's like, just stand back there. I was like, yes. So, then we pulled out the running back, and the running backs were there. If you watch it, if you watch the All-22, it's kind of cool because he has a cool little clap at the end, like he's pretty happy. So, but, like I said, it's coming. The Big Ten is here. We've got a ranked opponent. We're going to need his. He's a weapon. We're going to need him to be ready to go. And so it's good to get him in, though.
Can you do an Australian accent?
What do you say?
Just stand back that. I am terrible at accents. Yeah, so I at least gave it a whirl, but I'm terrible at it.
I guess if you hear from him every day, you might be able to. Yeah,
that's true. I'm trying to do an Australian accent. I'm not even for sure. I got to go watch Crocodile Dundee to remind myself what it sounds like. That's a fair point. That was a really good Australian accent and imitation. But he got in. He got in the game. He got in the game. All those angry emails, Andy Jurassic pointed this out on Twitter, all those angry emails that he got landed home, and Archie got in the game. All right, Dana Holgorsen. Everybody in the Big Ten plays good defense. Michigan has set the standard for defense for a long time, and that's true. I'm curious to see how good Ohio State's defense truly is this year because Texas – I mean, just think about that Texas game. They shut them down, but Texas offense is struggling in general. Like, they just are. So, until somebody does it consistently, it's hard to say somebody plays better defense in the entire Big Ten Conference than Michigan. Now, Nebraska's been a lot better since when Tony was here for a couple of years. So far, our stats look really good. 107th in the country stopping the run. Got to adjust that on Saturday. But other than that, been really good. Number one pass defense in the country. All right, doesn't know what to expect, but greatness when he's talking about Dylan Raiola. What do you think of that statement? That's a strong statement right there. Greatness, not good, not very good, greatness.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to ask of him. I guess that's putting the pressure on him. Again, I might want to hold it off on that till a few games into conference play, but they're feeling on top of the world now.
All right, says he knows Michigan's temporary coach will get their guys ready to play. Ooh, didn't think Luke Lindemeyer played very well last week. Were you surprised to hear that?
He dropped a wide open pass. I don't know other than that, but a little bit surprising to hear.
Then he says Luke Lindemeyer is going to be a valuable key to how they play going forward. I mean, he is our best tight end. He's a good player. Again, the human being aspect, you know, happens sometimes. Says we need to score when inside the five. I would second, third, and fourth that. Can't be wasting plays down there. Michigan's D coordinator is elite NFL caliber coach. Yeah, they literally took him from the Ravens. Well, Harbaugh took him from the Ravens. Did they keep their same D coordinator when Harbaugh went to the Chargers? I know he took the strength coach, and I know he took a bunch of other coaches with him. He was the only strength coach in the country, by the way, making over $1 million a year, Michigan strength coach, before he joined Harbaugh with the Chargers. So, yeah, very good defense, very well-coached defense, good front seven. Their secondary actually played pretty well against John Mateer, who's one of the Heisman favorites right now, the Oklahoma quarterback, if not the Heisman favorite. So the secondary showed that they can play pretty well as well, but I think the strength of their defense is their front seven. All right. Thinks we are where we need to be. Oh, thinks we are where we need to be, but we can always improve. In other words, doing good things got to get better. Like, there's certain things we need to improve on. I feel like that was typed out better than I read it. All right. Won't name a second string running back. The tape will. So, you watched the game last week, and it was clearly Ives.
The tape, yeah, it did, I think.
Is it not clearly Ives?
Based on per, you know, carries, it was. That's a surprising comment. But Mekhi Nelson didn't play, so.
Yeah, why didn't he play at all? Is he banged up, do you know?
I don't know exactly. I think it was just a coach's decision, basically.
So it's either Mosey or Ives, and Ives was clearly the number two back on Saturday. That's surprising. Maybe he's just trying to keep Michigan guessing. It doesn't seem like a Holgorsen type thing to do, though. I expect Ives to be number two. Dylan is playing at an elite level. And he said TJ Lateef gives him, just Dana talking, great comfort. So high praise for Dylan Raiola. Again, elite level. He was graded. He is the number two passing quarterback in the entire Big Ten Conference right now. All right, behind Jaden Maeva of USC. What are your thoughts on how Dylan has played so far this year? Text line, what are your thoughts on how Dylan has played so far this year? What's that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685.
You got any thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, you look at him right now, again, throughout his stats there, 72 for 94, 70, close to 77% completion percentage, 829 yards, 8 touchdowns. Most importantly, 0 interceptions. Only been sacked 3 times as well, so that's good through you know, if you can use, he sacked 27 times last year, if you can kind of think. Won a game to this point, doing a little bit better with his mobility. Obviously, they're going to play some better teams, and that's why I said I'd wait a little bit, because he's been able to do some stat padding. I you know, we didn't talk too much about Houston Christian. Do you think it was the wind that was bothering him, or early? It seemed like that was kind of something that was there, but after he kind of locked in, he's been locked in. He's been good. He's been as advertised as promised to this point. But again, here we go. Step up in competition. You expect those numbers to drop a little.
So here's my take. Short to intermediate, he's been elite. He's been great. Short to intermediate passes. There was a drop pick six that could have happened versus Cincinnati. He did fumble the ball. He got it back. He fought to get it back. So there's that. Keep that in mind. But short to intermediate passes, he's been elite. What I was going to say and why I started nodding my head was the deep ball. When you factor in the deep ball, it hasn't been there much yet. I mean, he had a 40-plus yard touchdown pass to Dane Key. It's not like it hasn't existed. It hasn't exactly been pretty, and I know it was a little bit windier on Saturday, but we haven't had a ton of deep balls really in the past, what has he had, 16 starts? 16 starts. Now, part of that was there was no separation from the wide receivers last year, But what are your thoughts on this? Is this concerning to you at all right before we go to break here?
Yeah, I mean, it can be. Again, I think it's a good point because there's just a lot to break down and say positively about him, but we haven't seen too much of that. This is the game. We you want to see Isaiah Hunter and Dane Key earn their money from the NIL portal. You know, this is it. This is the game to do it. And so, you know, it was interesting because, you know, Hunter especially looked really good against Akron. Didn't see much of him this past game. You know, obviously you've got Barney in there. His speed's always going to be something to look out for. They have hit, you know, some deep balls to some of the younger redshirt freshmen and freshman wide receivers. So, but yeah, I mean, that was something that even he was having a lot of success with that early last year, but he almost threw it underneath the wide receivers. Like they'd come back and get it. So deep ball accuracy will be important and will be tested at some point, but I don't think that's what they're going to rely on more often than not. I think it's mostly going to be that short to intermediate stuff.
I come back to what Rule said after one, I think it was their second major scrimmage in camp. He said the offense is efficient. And I talked about it that next day. He used that word efficient. Not explosive, not that they can't be explosive, not anything. He used efficient for a reason. That screams short to intermediate. That screams good to solid running game. So have you noticed that we've had three different leading receivers? After each of our three games, it was Hunter, game one, Barney, game two, Key, game three. So you can't, no pun intended, key on any of these receivers. You don't know who they're going to go to, who might have a breakout game. I do know that Michigan's secondary struggles with receivers that are a little bit more shifty. So I wonder if that might lean Ja'Cory Barney just a smidge this weekend. We'll see. And to your point, I mean, you're talking about these receivers making their money, earning their money. The guy making more money than anybody else when it comes to NIL in the entire state of Nebraska has got an opportunity to earn, not, I don't want to say earn his money, but earn his money, but earn the credibility that some people think he's not getting from national pundits. He can earn that this weekend versus Michigan. And if he goes out and plays well, he will be talked about because he will have earned it on a national level. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.